anytime Ash tries to talk about his list, he gets shut down by everyone.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 18 of Heroic Stats. My name is Stephen. I am, of course, the executive overlord of Any Heroics, the only GBHL team which elects its captain based on the number of white t-shirt jean combos they have. I am joined, of course, by John, the intern Partridge, and the washed-up player from last year, Ashley Walger.
Hello, Any Heroics. Thank you for having me on. My name's Ash. I'm from the Gollum's Gamer podcast. Please check us out on YouTube and Instagram if you're so inclined.
Your overlord Elliot told you to say that, didn't he?
He didn't. It was all me.
Ash, you are, of course, the third placed player from last year's GBHL season. I said that really weirdly. You're, of course, incredibly washed up and haven't won a GBHL 100 yet this year. And no. It's all the way into May. So I'm not sure why you're on this podcast. Maybe we'll
what
get to that
later.
What
could have possibly changed?
But firstly...
Well, Dave was busy, so...
We had some very sad news over the weekend, of course. Bernard Hill, unfortunately, passed away this weekend. Obviously, well known for many roles, including the Titanic. But the reason we, of course, all love him is for his absolutely iconic...
He was strong in life. His spirit will find its way to the halls of your fathers. Restore her. Faith is your defense.
So yeah, sorry to have to be the bearer of bad news if you're unaware. But on to lighter and brighter things. Episode 18 of Any Heroic Stats, as previously mentioned, joined by Mr. Walger, GBHL player extraordinaire. Captain of the Gollum's Gamers, is that correct?
It is, yeah. So as a vibrant democracy over at the Gollum's Gamers, if you are the top ranking Gollum's Gamer from... the previous season, you attain the lordship of being captain. So as that was me, I am the captain this season.
I am the captain now. Usurping from any previous members. I mean, we do exactly the same thing. It's just that I was, of course, the top player last year in Any Heroics. But it's
give
nice
us,
saying... oh.
Give us a bit of a history lesson, Ash. How did you get into the game, and then how did the Gollum's Gamers start?
Oh, wow. So, I had a friend at school who played Warhammer 40k, and I thought, that's cool. So, me and my dad and Jack went down to the Games Workshop in Portsmouth Arundel Street. And I think I was 9 at the time. And the bloke in the shop, his name was Paul. Shout out if anyone knows Paul from Portsmouth that used to work in Games Workshop. And he said, welcome, come into the shop. What models would you like to paint? Because at the time, I don't know if they still do this, but you were able to paint free models if it was the first time like they've seen you.
Yeah.
And my dad was chatting to him, and basically they decided that the simplest things for us to paint as, you know, mere youths would be the Fellowship of the Ring characters. So we bought those, got into the game that way, went on a Sunday to play War of the Ring, which was out at the time. And after a few chop and changes, considering they no longer supported War of the Ring, they then no longer supported the strategy game until the big re-release of The Hobbit and then Middle-earth strategy battle game as a wanna, did I get back into it. I always played, and good old Sam and James and Jack were kind of like intrigued by it. So one day I set up a... sort of mini trial training day where I set up like two boards, wrote their army lists for them, set the armies up, gave them each a set of dice and a tape measure and all this stuff. I even wrote out all their stats for them so they didn't have to do anything except for turn up and play. And ever since then, I caught a big one, hooked them all in. And that was the birth of the Golems Gamers, because from that moment on, they were like, you know what? It's actually pretty good fun. And they bought their own stuff, bought their own armies. And now we've probably been to the most events out of any of the teams, I think, last year.
I believe you were the team with the most event attendances, which is quite an accolade to have. Of course, there were some very successful members of yours. Last year's team had 4 Masters attendees at this year's event. Is that right? Yeah.
I think it was 4.
And I think last year you had quite a few Masters attendees as well. I think it might have been 5 last year. Was it 4 again? Did you swap Adam for James?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Because it was me, Sam, and James went last year. Because the teams only originated this previous season. So when we went to Masters last year, we weren't physically a team. We just created a cursed t-shirt and then went from there.
And had that t-shirt banned.
Had that t-shirt banned.
For being inappropriate to children.
I just found a raunchy picture on Google.
As we all do, as we all do. So you are, of course, captain of what is currently the second best team in the league, although the rankings are yet to be updated from this weekend just passed, so that might be due to change. It's all out between you and Seventh City, speaking of our wonderful sponsor, Seventh City Collectibles. Obviously, that's where the GBHL team gets its name. Stockists of all your favourite systems, Middle-Earth, 40K, Lorcana. John, you're a Lorcana fan, aren't you? Magic, Star Wars Legion, Pokemon, etc. Lovely place to get food as well. They've got some really good food facilities there. Staff's all lovely. And most importantly, they do secondhand sales. So you can sell your secondhand stuff there. You can buy secondhand armies. It's great. Go there. It's in Nottingham. They also do really good events.
All of my 40K stuff is on their website now. If you want to pick up anything painted by the artisan of Middle Earth.
Yeah. I believe you had a 11 painting award last year, didn't you?
Because Seven City sell it at a big discount compared to if you bought it new. That's why I've bought a lot of my Lord of the Rings stuff. So they've got Lord of the Rings secondhand, they've got 40K, Age of Sigmar, Old World, they've got loads of stuff. But
that's
probably enough shilling.
There are tickets left for Gates of Gondolin, which is being run by Seven City, isn't there?
That's what I was going to say. And if you can get those tickets from our affiliate link to help us out. And you should also go there because Will runs excellent events. And I don't think I've missed one of his events in the last year, and that was Ripon. But otherwise, I go to every single one of his events because they're genuinely great.
If you make the journey up or down, you will get to see myself, Sam and James, and Ben, and maybe Adam as well. So come on down and say hi.
What army list will you be running, Ash?
God, that is a difficult question. Now, as I'm such a hobbyist, I might be painting up a brand new army in 2 weeks. As a pragmatic player, I may just take the same thing that won. Who knows?
Who knows?
It's all in the air.
Moving on to the first... Yeah. Well, sorry, the events of the weekend. For any Polish listeners, I apologise so much for all the... brutalizing of your language that is about to occur.
Ash did agree, though, before filming started, to be the one to attempt to pronounce every Polish word. So, Ash, could you let us know what this event is called, please?
Goodness gracious. Indy Wid Ulani Mistrzostwa Polski Middle Earth SBG 2024.
Okay, you got the last bit right. So this was an event. In fact, it's one of the biggest events in Poland. It's 737 points. The results were sent to me by a lovely gentleman called, and again, I'm going to butcher this, I'm really sorry, Wojciech Zasza. And it was at Stadion Slaski in Poland, which is essentially the Polish Masters. You could bring 2 army lists to the tournament. If you have 2 lists and your opponent has 1 list, you can pick whether you're good or evil. Obviously, you pick, if you have 2 lists, you pick 1 good, 1 evil. You can't take 2 good lists. If you and an opponent both have 2 lists, you can ban one of your opponent's lists secretly before And then you play the remaining lists. Before the scenarios, or before the day, there were three scenarios known, which was Destroy the Supplies, Contest of Champions, and a Breakthrough. And then the other scenarios were Assassination, Recon, Divide and Conquer. Now we are going to see some quite familiar lists here, so it's nice to see that we're not just going to be pooping on the meta.
It was definitely
also,
an unfamiliar points value, 737 points.
I
Think of
just want
it
to say
as
28 points fewer than we had at City of Kings.
the people in Poland are playing in stadiums. That's the level of the game they've reached. Now that is impressive.
Whereas we're playing in conservative clubs and village halls. Also, the tournament organizer was Piotr Zich. Again, sorry for butchering that name if I have done so. So on to the results. Firstly, best painted. I can't remember the name of this person. If you are looking at it on screen, it is some incredibly gorgeous Galathrim with Fangorn, and it's got non-metallic metal on all the Galathrim models. It's kind of absolutely insane. Just gorgeous non-metallic metal
It's
work.
such a good idea. Like the cloaks on the elves is such an iconic scene from the films, but there's no models for them, and that's genuinely so cool.
So they've essentially done the elves leaving Lothlórien and going to Helm's Deep section. I have the name. It was Jakub Morawiński. Again, apologies for butchering your name.
If you click the next photo,
Oh, does it
you can
say it?
see,
Oh,
no,
there's
but
the
you can see
award.
really well, like the non-metallic metal on the horse, which is incredible.
The gold
Really,
banded
really
armor.
impressive.
It's lovely. Also, importantly, they've got the old Galadriel Protectress of Lothlórien model for their Galadriel, which I think is a really cool sculpt. It's a bit cooler than just the hi guys waving one.
Cheerio.
Cheerio. But yeah, some absolutely gorgeous work. But anyway, on to the lists. In third place, of course, we have two lists here.
How
We
do you say
have
this name, Ash?
I'm actually in the way, so I can't even see the name. So you're going to have to pronounce this one, John, unfortunately.
Lukasz
Did you ask Jakob for that one?
Swiecznik. No, I had a friend at uni called Lukasz. We had the same first name, and then the surname's a guess. So sorry, Lukasz, if I've butchered
He's
your
just
surname.
able to put his Duolingo into practice here, aren't you, John?
That's what we like to hear. He
Oh.
has his Assault on Lothlórien list is 58 models with 18 bows. He's got Muzgur, Druzhag, Moragobin Captain, and an Orc Shaman. He's got a selection of Orc Warriors and Goblin Warriors with bows, etc. He's got, importantly, he's got quite a few spiders though. He's got four spiders and two bat swarms, which is obviously quite a significant points investment. It's not too far off model count wise what you would expect to see from Assault on Lothlórien at this points level. Just having a quick look through it. Oh, there is no Goblin Shaman, which is usually quite a hotly contested pick. I think it's
Important
quite
piece.
useful. Yeah, it keeps Druzhag around, which in turn keeps the beasts around. However, if you don't think you're going to break, you don't necessarily need to.
And also, if this is good versus evil, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Not
So, oh,
necessarily.
potentially,
So
but potentially.
you could ch you ban one of your opponent's lists. So you could end up playing good versus
Oh,
good
okay.
or evil versus evil.
Yeah, because I was thinking that the Shaman allows just all of your prowlers and orcs and goblins to actually charge stuff if you're playing like a Círdan list or a Terra line, which is massively important for getting you outnumbering. So I'm surprised not to see a Shaman.
In Lukash's good list, he's got Erebor, Thralls of Handruel, and Survivors of Lake Town. So he's got Thorin, King of the
Thralls of
Mountain,
Handwell. That was new. Sorry, John. Carry on.
he's running Thorin Oakenshield with Orcrist and a goat, leading 7 Iron Hills dwarfs with spear and 7 without spear. Legolas on horse with 7 elves with shield, 4 with bow, 1 sentinel, 2 cav with shield, and a palace guard with spear, banner, and shield. And then he's rounding it out with a Lake Town militia captain, 8 militia with shield and spear, 4 militia with bow spear, for 44 models total and 10 bows.
It's a real shame that Dave isn't here, because these are both lists that he would A, have a lot to say on, and B, really enjoy. I know he is a big fan of the Erebor, well, let's just call it Battle of the Five Armies good side list. Thorin is an incredible piece for his price, what you're getting from him, just bouncing off things, combating all over the place. Legolas
is a really clever pick for Contest of Champions, as you knew that was one of the scenarios.
Yeah.
Because Legolas is able to terrorize the opponent's leader by taking out their horse or just doing wounds to them. And similarly, the Assault on Lothlis is able to nullify said leader in that matchup as well. So I'd be confident.
It's interesting how he's done the warbands in the good list, because there's hardly any spears with the elves. Lots of spears in the Lake Town, and then there's an even mix with the dwarfs. So it seems like the dwarfs are designed to go off in their own little functional unit, and then the elves and the Lake Town go together, which I don't know whether I like too much, because you've got the expensive elves as your front rank then.
They also die a lot quicker than the dwarves tend to. Mm. I mean, it's clearly worked. The one thing that I would say is Palace Guard with a spear, banner, shield. I feel like you could just have that as a Mirkwood elf with banner, shield, and save quite a few points there. You'd be saving 4 points, let's be honest. But 2 Mirkwood cav, that's almost exactly the right number at this point. So they're incredibly cheap. They're really effective for what they do. It's just a very solid list, isn't it? It is interesting to see that this is the kind of thing we'd see in UK meta as well. Obviously, AOL is doing quite well here at the moment. And in the latter portion of last year, we had a lot of Battle of the Five Armies.
I guess towards the end of the year, but we don't see it that much.
No, it's good when you can buy all the tools for it. Mm. That being, you need... The version that, for example, Dave likes running is Thorin, Legolas, Gandalf, and a Lake Town Captain. But the Lake Town Captain is such a nice little flexible drop where you've got a warband for almost 100 points. I mean, it's 132 points? No, slightly fewer, sorry, 124 points. That has a lot of bodies in it. It's got a few bows, and it's got March with 2 expendable might points. It's a really nice little piece, and you can just kind of drop it into this list because it's pure green.
Should we have a look at a second?
Definitely worth the 40 points.
Definitely worth the 40 points. Never take the shield either. You never see the shield. Moving on to Adam Sokol, or Adam Sokol, with something that Ash will definitely have lots to comment on.
Oh, we've got it now.
Mordor Serpent Horde list for the evil.
This is why we got you on, Ash.
Yeah.
Run us through it.
So he has taken the Witch King of Angmar. He's got a Fell Beast, actually. Now, that is something that is far too difficult for me to use. I tried that last year. For him to come second, that's really, really impressive. Because Fell Beasts aren't very good. Sorry, I got completely distracted then. He's got 3 Might, 15 Will, which makes sense on the Fell Beast, and 3 Fate. Also makes sense on the Fell Beast. With 7 Black Gnome Norians, 7 Morannon Orcs with Shield Spear, and 4 Orc Trackers. He's then got a Ring Wraith, it seems on foot, with 2 Might, 8 Will, and sorry, 2 Might, 7 Will, and 1 Fate. Again, 6 Black Gnome Norians, 4 Morannon Orcs with Shield Spear, an Orc Warrior with Shield Spear, and an Orc Warrior just with a spear. And then he's got the man himself, Suladan, the Serpent Lord, with an armored horse. He's also got 2 Abracan Merchant Guard, 3 Watchers of Karna, 4 Paragon Warriors with spear and bow, and 2 Serpent Riders, topping out at 44 models, 8 bows, and 8 might.
It's a pretty cheeky list, isn't it?
I was going to say, I again think that Contest of Champions has influenced his decision to take a Fell Beast.
Yeah. I see, that's a weird one, because I still maintain that the Witch King on horse in Contest is still great. Because You,
Agreed.
the first turn, you keep your opponent's champion, if you can, behind the lines, and then you kill three models, and then you just laugh while you transfix them every turn. It's
Infinitely transfix them, yeah.
just as simple as that. I think the Fell Beast is probably a personal choice. I don't think people nowadays generally take Fell Beasts because they think they're good, because they're definitely not quite where they were in the heyday of obviously Ed Ball, Flying Circus kind of stuff.
They're just too expensive, I think.
You're running a fight five model on a Fell Beast where he is one of your
Yes.
linchpins. If he goes into the enemy line and loses the move off, you've lost your 200 point leader, who is also just the most important part of your list, apart from maybe Sulladan's banner.
And if he's Fell Beasting, he's less useful 50% of the time. He's going to be tagged and not be able to cast.
Adam, shout out to Adam Sirens here. It's actually Sirens. But he would put in a rigorous defense of the Fell Beast because he really likes it. And he says, what it allows you to do is outrange every other caster with those massive 2 inches that make all the difference. And also allow you to win scenarios late on by moving so far with him. But I'm not convinced.
Mr. Sirens, unfortunately, Gandalf the White can also move the same distance. Okay, serious suggestions only. Personally, if I was going to improve this list a little bit, I think we'd all drop the Will by one, the Fate by one, drop the Fell Beast, add a few numbers, specifically a Mordor hero, and drop some of the Serpent Horde pieces. They just feel quite fragile in comparison to the rest of the list, but it's still a very solid list in its own right. I would just be worried about the Witch King getting stuck behind lines or in places it didn't want to be.
Yeah.
Moving on to his almost Battle of the Five Armies, kind of still Battle of the Five Armies list. There's clearly a
There's a
theme
theme
running
here with
here.
the good lists.
We have Bard the Bowman, love to see it. Shout out to Mr. Grattan, with armor and horse, with Alfred, Sigurd and Tilda, seven late town with shield, three with spear shield, five with spear bow. Late town militia captain, as discussed, no shield on that one because it's a waste of points. Two militia with spear, two with shield, four with spear shield, and four with bow spear. And then rounding it out, just to add some utility and fight five, we've got Legolas on a horse with seven elves with shield, four with bow, one Wood Elf Sentinel, the usual two Mirkwood cavalry, and one Mirkwood elf with glaive and banner. It's a cheeky list.
It is. It's right in Sam's aura.
Wheelhouse. Yeah.
It's
And
it is very sorry, Ash. Okay.
I was just going to say, I played this. Sam had basically the same list at Contest of Champions, and he killed my entire army except for my assassination pieces, which allowed me to win. But if it was in a pitched battle, like to the death or lords, the fact that you have a 12-inch banner on Bard and you've got fight five elves means you consistently win almost all the line fights. And then you've got Bard who can free her at combat at fight six if you can play the Sigurd and Tilda well enough with potentially six might. Really difficult to stop.
It also means that in this format, if you want to use this list, you can look at your opponent's list and go, okay, who's got the ringwraiths to nuke Sigurd and Tilda and Alfred, and just remove them by just banning the list, which is obviously what this list struggles against. Without Gandalf around as anti-magic, is a caster just goes, hey Bard, that's 205 points that you've invested there. I'm either going to kill one of your daughters to lead you around the board on a merry chase, or I'm going to just kill your horse, and what are you going to do about
Literally
it,
not
mate?
kill anything.
Yeah.
It's the list is it's very, very similar to the previous list, kind of aside from the obvious. The Lake Town Captain Warband is pretty much the same, but Bard and Thorin do pretty much the same thing. They're both normally fight six, they're both free heroic combats. They're giving the list that combat threat, and I guess it's just kind of flavoring whether you want kind of Thorin or Bard and then dwarfs versus more militia. because points wise, I guess Bar is so much more expensive than Thorin is. Like when you pay for Alfred, pay for the girls, the total warband cost probably isn't that different.
Let's have a quick look. What is it? 155 plus. There was 190, 210, 230. Almost 300 points to almost 300 points. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, so it's functionally that warband is doing the same job. It's just which one does it better, I guess.
It's significantly squishier, but I would argue Bard is almost a better killing piece than Thorin because his horse has got longer range. And he's got the 6 might instead.
His main buff is that 12-inch banner. It's just so powerful.
If you haven't seen what 12 inches looks like on the board, if you're playing a 4-foot-wide board and he's on a 40-mil base, that's covering more than half the width of the board on your battle line.
And one thing that Sam will do is have individual Lake Town Militia, which you think are rubbish because they're only, 6 points, but shield with your banner, you've got 3 dice. More than likely, you're going to outroll any elite troop if they've only got that 1 dice. So you can quite consistently keep them alive as well because you've got so many dice to win those your rolls.
Yeah. Right. So moving on to the first place list, we've seen quite a few different variations of lists. Here's a combination of a couple of them. We've got another AOL list. I'm not going to run through all the minutiae of this one. Importantly, it's only got 2 giant spiders and 2 bat swarms in a wildborn order, but it's showmans instead of captains. Again, it's very similar model counts, quite high bows. Interestingly, though, the Rivendell and Survivors of Lake Town combination. So we've got Glorfindel, Lord of the West, with Asphaloth and Armor of Gondolin. He was leader because obviously Contest of Champions. He's got Rivendell Knight with shield, a High Elf Warrior with banner and spear, 9 High Elf Warriors with shield, and 4 with bow. We've got Gandalf on horse. Obviously, he's the one who always leads the Lake Town. Bard? No Bard. he's got 5 Lake Town Militia with bow and 10 with spear. And then we've got that warband drop that everyone seems to be taking. Lake Town Militia Captain with 4 Militia with bow and 7 with spear. This is obviously a yellow alliance. However, you don't really care about the Rivendell Army bonus because it's pretty wank. Only affects 5 of your models if they haven't moved. So terrible. And obviously you don't have Bards, so you don't care about the Lake Town Survivors Army bonus.
A couple of editions ago in 40K, there was a thing called the Loyal 32, where you took 2 kind of Imperial Guard leader dudes and 30 Imperial Guardsmen, and it was fuck all points and just gave you a load of command points, so effectively 3 might points, just to kind of bulk out your numbers, do objectives and stuff. And it seems the polls have discovered the MESBG equivalent, kind of Lake Town Captain, 12 lads, with kind of the Army of Lake Town getting nerfed and not being able to use that kind of whole 350 point package. Seems kind of that cheaper 100 point package of kind of 12 dudes and a captain is very, very popular in
the
mainland
difference
Europe.
Between these 2 lists and the previous second and third place that we've seen is both of Bart's lists have magic, which is the most powerful thing in the game. And the fact that he's teched out on 2 shamans and Musgrim means he was transfixing basically whatever he liked all game. And the same with Gandalf blasting stuff, making sure you got the blinding light. I can see why he took home the victory royale.
Yeah, so congrats. I'm going to butcher your name. Bartolomage Cicci? Again, I'm so sorry. what I really love about this list is he's taking Glorfindel without using him as an access piece to Círdan, because that's often why you see Glorfindel, as he goes, okay, hi, here's also my buddy Círdan who's coming along. Obviously, the reason why is if you've got Círdan and Gandalf, you spend too many points on that.
And they do basically kind of a similar job.
They do quite a similar job, yes. So yeah, thank you again for sending me the results to the Polish tournament. That's really appreciated. I was in the bathroom having a wee when the message popped up on my phone, and I was like, "Oh, cool! Someone's sending me more results." So yeah, thank you again.
It is really interesting to look at lists from different countries. So I like it.
Moving on to another event, City of Kings, GBHL 100. Look at this dude.
Look at this dude.
That's our boy. Oh, boy. It's the City of Kings down in Winchester. We all went down there. In fact, me, John, and Dave from our lot went down. Tio was obviously Ali King, the man, the myth, the legend, previous ruler of the GBHL. 34 players total, 765 points with six games, modified scenarios to kind of balance them for having lower numbers with all heroes, but then also some other balancing. It was also a King of the Castle. You could bring your own bit of terrain and had to be accessible by any infantry model without any special rules. If you captured your enemies by having more models in base contact with it at the end of the game, or a banner in base contact with it at the end of the game, you got a TP. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but without reading the rules pack, you'd need to, yeah.
Check out the Golems Gamer preview episode, which we did, where we go into all of these scenarios, all of the lists, and all of the King of the Castle shenanigans in detail.
Yeah, and Elliot Schlingel also talks about how he likes to cheat. So,
edit, no, no, that's not getting in. No,
that's out of context. But yeah, go check out that podcast.
You can have the plug and the cheating, Ash, or you can have nothing.
No, one or the other.
Most Sporting was won by a lovely young gentleman called Jack Woolger in his second event of the year, which is, of course, Ash's little brother.
Let's go, Jack.
Captain of the Golems Gamers B team. And I have to say, watching his face when he walked up to get the award, it made me quite happy because, yeah, I didn't get a lot of time to chat to Jack, but he seemed like a lovely guy. So well done, Jack. Shout out you.
I've heard a vicious rumor, Ash, that Jack actually hates playing and only comes because you force him to.
Probably. I mean, I do have to do all the powers of persuasion.
You have to write a list as well.
He likes, I have to write his list. Basically, he's never progressed from the stage of me writing his list. Right, he writes his own stats out now, which is great. But
just imagine you running over to his table before he
did his stats for him. He
spent a mite, Ashes.
He definitely comes to the events with some persuasion from me, but he never says no, which means he must enjoy it somewhat.
But he's clearly a lovely person to play.
Yeah, very lovely man. Best painted was Thomas Eves. Big shout out to Tom because lovely man. He's one of the friendliest faces of the SPG community. He's a lovely Welsh man. He loves his dwarves. He's got these amazing runes that you'll see on the screen. He was taking a bit of a scummier list with Gwahir, who's his latest lover, with some Khazad-dûm from the Barlin side. But yeah, if you ever meet Tom at an event, you'll know because he is probably the nicest man you will ever meet.
I've never seen him not incredibly smiley.
Yeah, and he's always so excited to see you no matter what's going on. It's, lovely man. And please check out the pictures that we've got on screen because the pictures don't actually do it justice because the amount of runes he's put into the shields and whatnot. Absolutely, absolutely beautiful work.
They are awesome.
We can probably skip our third place list because we've actually covered this army a little bit on the podcast already. So,
so AOL making its third appearance already. Mr. Jamie Wiggins, Mr. Third Place for this year. I think this is his third or fourth third place now with AOL. It's a six warband variant. That is important to talk about with a Wild Chieftain, which was used for some of the scenarios for various reasons. Number one, there was modified contest where you could choose your own champion from within your faction if you were green or a legendary legion. Otherwise, it had to be your leader's faction. So that's what that's there for. There was also a modified divide and conquer deployment where obviously you choose the Wild Wild Chieftain because it's quick, runs across the board real quick. So yeah, not a hell of a lot to talk about in this list. Sorry, Jim, if you are listening. Two giant spiders, two bat swarms, the usual heroes, double shaman, and the captain. I did play against him. and obviously he pilots this list very well. But yeah, it goes pew pew and has lots of numbers. There's a lot more to it than that, but if we were going to spend every podcast talking about AOL, our listeners would probably get very bored. Let us know in the comments below if you want us to talk about AOL for an entire hour, because we probably could. Moving on to second place, Mr. Adam Searens. Oh,
Let's
nice
go,
bad
Adam.
hobby. Another member of Gollum's Game. If you
The
haven't met
terrain
Adam,
inspector himself.
terrain inspector himself, he is a lovely man. I've got a lot of time for Adam. He loves talking about terrain and how much terrain there should be on a board and how good it should be. And he also loves his Hunter Orcs and his Pits of Dol Guldur, clearly. So just
Absolutely.
running through this list, we've got Azog, the White Warg, with 4 Hunter Orcs, 1 Hunter Orc with Warhorn, very important that Warhorn, 6 Gundabad Orcs with shield and spear, 1 with banner, shield, spear, and a fell warg, and then a Hunter Orc captain with some Hunter Orcs, some Gundabad Orcs, and a fell warg. Another Hunter Orc captain with 11 Hunter Orcs and a fell warg, and another Hunter Orc captain with 6 Hunter Orcs and a fell warg. This list is just really solid, especially when you know you've got contests coming up. Having to deploy against Pits of Dol Guldur is enough to give any man a headache, or any person a headache, in contest where you
Watching you
know.
deploy against Jake Mawson's bomb was giving me a headache
Oh
because
my God.
I could tell you were
It's my first game
struggling.
playing against a bomb, and I deployed perfectly. But we're not here to talk about me unless I came first.
Sorry.
I didn't. I
Uh-oh.
didn't. So yeah, I mean, Pits is a very. It's one of those lists where I think people look at it initially and they go, "Oh, it's just Hunter Orcs and Gundabad Orcs." You forget that every model's got resistant to magic. Their Hunter Orcs, which are a very solid battle line, got good numbers. You can go bows, although Jakob Krokmar, who is the Pits expert, armpits, I mean, says don't go any bows. And Azog on the White Warg with 3 heroic combats and resistant to magic, like, what do you even
Even much
do?
scarier.
What do you do?
What you
Although
do,
clearly.
chaps, is you transfix him and then he fails his resistant rolls and then you beat Adam.
Yeah.
Pro
So
strats.
yeah, Pits. I'm a big fan of this list, to be honest. Hunter Orcs are an exceptional fighting force, purely
So I think
because they just chop.
Adam
Yeah.
chatting to him at the end of the weekend does maintain that he thinks this is too high a points level for Pitts to really be optimal. Do you guys agree? Or, I mean, Adam's kind of proved that wrong, but.
It's genuinely an impressive achievement that Adam was able to come second with this list because it is, I mean, as we said in our sort of preview episode, it basically doesn't do well into the current meta, which is Terror Fight 4,
And shooting.
and shooting, and especially a bomb if you can, blow up Azog as your only one piece. So the fact that Adam was able to navigate, he went 5-1, only losing to me, in basically because I got lucky with my magic and he got unlucky with his resistant rolls. Otherwise, he could have very well won the tournament. The 3 Hunter Orc captains are actually incredibly annoying because at 3 attacks, fight 4, and strength 4, they can just chop through stuff in the battle line with expendable might effectively.
And
But
if they
yeah,
go
you
down, you
probably.
don't care because they're so cheap.
Yeah, when they go down, you don't really care. Yeah, probably 650 is where it's really good, pushing it a little bit at 700. But clearly, you can do well at 765, so congrats to Adam.
Yeah, congrats. I mean, it is absolutely correct saying there was a lot of shooting at the event and a lot of terror. So, yeah, to navigate all the way through that is really well done. So, well done, Adam. Now, in first place, I don't think we really need to talk about this one, do we? If you want to hear about.
I think we should give Ash a chance. I when I occasionally listen to the Golems Gamers Clan podcast, anytime Ash tries to talk about his list, he gets shut down by everyone. So give us Ash, run through your list, and then also just take some time to explain
Talk about
why
your passion.
this list is so good, why it saw so much success last year, and why you've kind of stuck with it so much.
So, I have taken my famous Witch King Saladin list. I have the Witch King, on horse with 3 might, 14 will, and 3 fate with the Crown of Morgul, 8 Black Gnomes, 8 Morana Orcs, 2 Orc Trackers. I've then got my favourite Mouth of Sauron, 5 Black Gnomes, 4 Morana Orcs, 5 Trackers. I've got the Gorbonator with 2 Black Gnomes, 2 Morana Orcs, and 3 Orc Trackers. All the Morana Orcs in my list have Shield and Spear. And then we've got Cilladan the Serpent Lord with 3 Serpent Riders. So I kind of feel like the reason I have consistently taken and continue to take Mordor Serpent Horde, especially the Witch King Cilladan, is because I don't know about you, but I'm sure everyone's had that feeling where you walk up to the table, you see your opponent's list, you see the scenario, and you've instantly lost. And there's nothing you can do about it. That circumstance is incredibly, incredibly rare when you take this list that I take frequently. You almost always have a chance at winning the game. And the number of tricks you can do, the strength of your battle line consistently means you can just win games. And that's why I really enjoy it. It's got killing power, it's got magic, it's got good troops, it's got pretty decent shooting. You can shoot into combat, you can shoot Hunter Orcs on the way in. I mean, 10 trackers can kill stuff, which is fun. You've got disposable might with gore bag. You've actually got quite a lot of might at 11. The double caster is really nice. Charging in if you need to kill things with 4 5/5 heroes, if you manage to get gore bag into 2 models. Again, really, really delicious. Got 46 models, which is the same as the Hunter Orcs. You've got a very, very high model count. 30, I'm just going to say roughly about 30 of those being D6. It's just all around good fun. You've got 6, have 3 of them being mounted heroes, double march, basically everything you want except for blinding light. But again, with 46 models, you can lose a few to shooting and it doesn't really matter. Yeah. And that was 2 minutes, which is usually roughly what I'm allowed.
You're allowed as many minutes as you like. I mean, yeah. I think
this is your platform, Ash. Like,
this is the list that you are the. I mean, there's obviously a couple of other names. Our very own Dave Farmer is well known for using this as well. But in the UK scene, if you say Witch King Sully or Barndor or Mordor Serpent Horde, people think of the Ginger God himself, the Mouth Goat. Ashley Waldron himself.
The Mouth Goat.
Because you've taken this list or a variant of this list to anything over 600 points for the last year and a half.
I'll even take it at 550.
What do you think is its optimum points level?
So I've won 200 at 650, so probably 650.
And is that Witch King Mouth Cilladan or?
Yeah, Witch King Mouth Cilladan, about 40 models. I think it's 38 actually. Double march, the 3 mounted 5/5 heroes. I mean, Gorbag, to be fair, it was really nice.
But it's the second caster you need, and you can't drop Witch King or Cilladan because they are two of the best heroes in the game for efficiency.
You have the two most points effective heroes in the game. Plus, probably the most points effective cav in the game, which is a Serpent Rider. Plus, probably the most points effective archer model in the game, or like chaff model in the game. And then the most points effective front battle line troop in the game, which is the Black Numenorean. So it's basically a hell of a lot of cheese stuffed together to make. I don't know what you make with cheese, but it's good.
What is it about the battle line that kind of outgrinds people so well and kind of wins against other battle lines where you don't really think it should?
It's probably the strength 4 at the back, as well as taking terror tests in the front to mean you often have more dice than your opponent because you can gang up on them, your 2 troops against their 1. You've got your 6-inch banner, which means you're rolling 3 dice across effectively, like 13 inches of the board, which is usually an entire battle line. And I think this list specifically did so well because of its high model count, meaning that I was always getting my rerolling ones and plus 1 courage. So when I'm trying to charge other terrifying lists, my Black Numenoreans are courage 5, which is the same as an elf, which is again ridiculous for only 9 points. Even if you're playing a list with Harbinger, whatever, you are still courage 4, which is I think just above 50% chance you charge. So, yeah, basically, well, I think that's why.
For our listeners that can expect to see this list kind of popping up throughout the rest of the year, what sort of things scare you when you are playing it? You mentioned there's very few matchups that you think, oh my god, I can't win this. This is a completely rough matchup. What are some of the worst ones? What do you think actually does counter this list?
So my arch nemesis is Assault Upon Helm's Deep. Also, a Jake Mawson list with lots of crossbows and a bomb will end me. But that's not always true. I was able to beat Jay at the finale with his ballista list. I don't think he had a bomb that time, though. But because the scenario is recon, so if you can have enough terrain on the board, you can get models off and win that way.
Would you ever take the Shadow Lord to help with that?
I did take the Shadow Lord to Unlimited Tears. However, the guy I played, I could find his name on Longshanks. I'm really sorry, I've forgotten it. It was quite a while ago, Unlimited Tears. But he had an Iron Heels Ballista, and he just 6-6 my Shadow Lord, sent him back miles, and then all his crossbows just annihilated my battle line. So the one time I've taken the Shadow Lord, it didn't help me anyway. But saying that, you've got the 5 points of march that allows you to go forward. I actually didn't play. I don't think I played any shooting at this event, which probably shows why I was able to.
You played at AOL final
so well,
in lots of battles.
Oh, I played AOL, but the modified lords meant that he only had one turn of shooting, so he only killed 3 Black Numenoreans on the way in, which is acceptable because I then have still 43 models, which is higher than most lists that were there.
So that was modified deployment for lords, where you had to deploy in the central 12 inches, which probably was a significant help in that game.
It was a huge help.
And you're really glad that I walked obviously around hidden telling everyone that that was the deployment.
Yeah. Jamie's face was not happy when he read that. And I thought, oh, this is a massive advantage that nobody really knew because they didn't read the rules back. So that also helped in that situation.
Yeah. So that's your... that's your platform for chatting about Serpent Horde and Witch King.
Thank you so much.
If you do need to disappear now, I know you have an inferior podcast to go and film. If you do need to do so, please do so. We're going to go
thank
over
thank you very much, stuff. Guys, for having me. I am now going to go and record our special Q&A video. So,
tune in. Can I ask you an additional question?
Please, exclusive.
Exclusive. What is your prediction for the top 5 GBHL teams this year?
The teams?
Yes. And your top 10 players.
Okay, prediction for teams and players.
Yeah.
Teams, 5, and players. I shall get that onto the Q&A video right now.
Lovely. Pleasure for working
thanks,
with you.
John. Thanks, Denbreen.
Thanks for your time.
Yeah, congratulations again.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Bye. Bye. What a lovely young gentleman.
Do you think he noticed that his name was spelled wrong?
Woogler. No, that's right. That's right. he probably gets it so much from Ali that he doesn't even notice. it is worth noting that people have been saying he's washed up for months because he hasn't won 100. Although anybody who's paying attention last year would know he won his first 100 in May. So I believe he's just warming up, guys. He just had the sun had to come and warm him up. Okay. So moving on to... I missed the animation. I'm so sorry, John. Oh, it's the true love story. Moving on to the GBHL 100 podiums. Now we've got Mordor back in its prime position.
Yeah, Mordor, starting to pull away a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, as Dave always says, Mordor is the most flexible faction with the most tools and the most variation, and that's what.
Although, interestingly, all of Mordor's 100 podiums so far this year have been at 700 points or above.
That's probably because 700 points and above lets you take the really good alliances and also get good numbers, Spider Queen and Silladan, etc. Yeah. Which is really, that's how Mordor's winning things.
Yeah. It's interesting that Ash said his favourite points level was 650 for it.
I would have thought it was a bit higher, but you know, Nice to see the insight from him.
Ash is the expert compared to us two.
Yeah, we're only masters TOs. We're not masters attendees. Come on. So running through the podium stats very quickly, we've got Mordor with 6, Isengard with 4, Dark Denizens of Mirkwood, aka the Spider Queen, and the Riders of Théoden with 3 each. We've got Angmar, Serpent Horde, and Hosha the Dragon Emperor, not Minyalol, with 2. And then we've got a smattering of others, with obviously we've got assault on, only one assault on Lothlórien. I think that stat might not be quite correct. Unless that is about to be updated when I do an animation. Nope. Okay. We've got a few more assault on Lothlórien, and we've also got Pits of Dol Guldur has just joined the ranks as well. So moving on to everyone's favorite section, or my favorite section at least, because I like having my ego stroked. Moving on to the comments. First of all, we have Carson Howard 9489. Battle Company's question. Your leader and sergeants are able to purchase any war gear that any model in your company list can have, even if that model is not currently an active member. In the Isengard army, can your leaders then purchase the Berserker Blade and have access to a hand and half sword, and not just the special rule, since they themselves aren't Berserkers? The unfun answer is that you can't actually purchase a Berserker Blade because it doesn't have a cost. The fun answer is, if you're playing Battle Companies, you should be playing for fun. So, yeah. Call it 2 points, one point, I don't know.
Ask your opponents, the people that you play with regularly.
The Berserker Blade rule, for those of you unaware, is basically you have to go two-handed and then you can hit everyone in the fight if you do win the fight. It's a bit shit because if you're surrounded to the point where you want to make more than two attacks, getting a -1, not very good because you're not going to win, so you're not going to hit anything. So yeah, I don't think it's a power game room move. Not at all.
Wade Hudson 9776 says, my weekly dose of unrelatable results and statistics for those of us upside down, but give me the data. Seriously enjoy the content, keep it flowing. Question for a friend, what do you think the 4 best profile special rules are in the game?
Firstly, shout out to those of you on the Southern Hemisphere. I assume that's the reference there. 4 best profile special rules in the game. Oh, that is a really good question. I would say that number one is undoubtedly Elrond's Foresight.
Yeah,
I think that might be
really strong.
The most game changing ability you available, because the ability to lose priority is so unbelievably powerful. Anything that gives you a reroll for casting is probably my next one. John, do you have any ones you want to chip in?
I think literally any of the Dragon Emperor special rules or the Palanquin special rules.
Yeah, the Palanquin.
Yeah. 12-inch banner. To be fair, 12-inch, anyone who's got a 12-inch banner kind of or banner effect, that's really, really strong, game-changing.
Yeah. Mighty Hero. I think that's another one which is literally game changing. You are, if you've got Mighty Hero, the master of the end game.
Malbest 5 up Feel No Pain probably would be up there. Kind of, you add more, you functionally add 33% more wounds to your army.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being a bit more than that.
Legolas is 2 plus hit value, I think. It's probably.
Yeah.
Incredibly, if he was evil as well and he could just shoot into combat with 3 shots, that's insane.
That'd be pretty cracked.
Right,
so there's more than 4.
Yeah, there's more than 4.
Ned Merrick, shout out Ned, he popped along to Masters. Why is one Guard of the Phantom Court separated from the others? We asked him last week. He says he was moving models between warbands in the program and didn't notice it. He didn't want to take max bows as the list need bodies to fight in the battle line. The shooting is good enough with 2 more bolt throwers. Adding more bows is just to win more addition. If in a shooting war, I think I'm winning anyway. This is in reference to Ned's double bolt thrower list. I think he podiumed a 90 with last week.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a very important thing to recognize. If you've got a list which is good at one thing, if you know you're going to be the best at it anyway, making yourself better at it at the detriment of what is one of the most important things an army can have, which is good number of models, is probably just A, unnecessary, and B, you're just losing effectiveness. So yeah, thanks for the clarification, Ned. Obviously, that was something that we just learned.
Leon asks, do you know how the Rivendell Knights were able to win the first and last scenario from one of last week's tournaments? And thank you to Mark Catewell for providing a kind of long, comprehensive answer there in the comments for us.
Shout out to Leon. I think he's Leon Curie on the Guardians Discord, I would guess.
I think so.
Also, Mark Capewell is currently absolutely ravaging the Scottish tournaments at the moment, just winning here, there, and everywhere. So thanks for commenting and for listening as well, Mark.
James Goebel says, what the Sigma? I think that's probably some joke that we're too boomer to understand.
What the Delta? That's what I have to say.
Next one's all yours, okay. Stephen.
Brandon Kirk 6498 says, I think Minas Tirith allied with the Dead Men with Elisar as leader, especially at high points level, is good. You get two strong heroes in King Elisar and the King of the Dead with a Dead Herald and like 12 Dead Men that are hard to kill but can easily kill with five guards of the Founding Court to bring fight four in the army at 650. So not many armies are going to be charging you with both your terror and 12-inch Harbinger of Evil. Harbinger. But from the King of the Dead, you could add more Fountain Court or Deadman at 700 and even add some more Gondor Heroes or Dead Heralds at 800 plus points. They're kind of like the Last Alliance, but with a bit lower fight and terror, or at least the comparison I found for this Green Alliance. Or you can do Denethor and Gandalf the White Army or Elisar and Gandalf at higher points. Heck, you could even do Gandalf and Boromir or Elisar and Boromir again at higher points or 1,000 points. You can take the three of them and a good number of troops with them.
I also think Dol Amroth is a good ally for Minas Tirith. Imrahil and Denethor can go good together at lower points. Angbor can help with terror armies or terror heroes. You could also go with the brothers of Gondor, Boromir and Faramir to hoard out a little bit. There is also Ingol to help you keep objective or just stop armies from flanking you. Hurin is good for leader VP and also has decent killing power. So there are a great many ways to make Minas Tirith good or even great, in my opinion. But that's just what I think. Great video game, guys. Keep up the good work.
Brandon, thank shout you, out Brandon, to you for that long beautiful comment. Sorry, that was the breath was obviously in relation to how long the comment is. You're absolutely right. Minas Tirith with Army of the Dead is it's a very effective battle line. The issue is it'll always have is in objective modes where you struggle based on numbers, where anyone's outnumbering you 2-1. They can effectively break themselves while still being on the objective, say in domination, for example. It obviously absolutely stomps the floor in anything killing related, with your D8 frontline, pardon me, with a fight four and a big banner and Rudigon Courage and Aragorn just absolutely chopping through. I also do definitely agree with the Last Alliance comparison, because it is quite similar to having a Círdan elf line with some strength four backing you up, or strength four in the front with the elves backing you up, depending on what the strength of your opponent is. You're not wrong in saying that at higher points Gandalf and Aragorn could be used. I think again the issue you're going to run into is getting effectiveness out of the points of Gandalf and Aragorn, also when you've got that many points invested, because they're almost 500 points altogether when you've got them mounted and whatnot. When you've got that many points invested not into your troops, with two heroes that have admittedly 6 plus a 3 might every turn, you will still struggle with needing to call a move every turn, but also wanting to combat with Aragorn. So having what's known as expendable might is also quite nice. Thank you very much for your comment, Brandon. Clearly, you're the man to go to when it comes to things related to Gondor, or indeed men, and Dol Amroth and Dead Men. Got more comments. David Jackson 39 with 8 thumbs up says, one vote for Dave's strategy video, and also one vote for the GBHL Dream Team, plus Theon Lee JP1 says plus one vote, Alex Taylor 2766 says plus one. Reese Strotman 7812 says plus one. Jackster 92 says plus one. And Johnny Test 9608 says plus one. If we can persuade Dave to do that video, we will. Obviously, it is a significant time investment for him to do so. More than just an hour of just filming or podcast stuff. So maybe we'll catch him in a very good mood on a weekend.
We'll try and rope him into it.
Yeah, we'll try and rope him in. You can do some talking. Go ahead.
Fine. Elliot Harry says, thanks for the shout out, and one spider is definitely too many spiders. Elliot is very much arachnophobic, so people very rudely tag him in spider related pictures on the Guardians Discord.
I have done this. I'm sorry.
Very mean of them. Free Run DJ says, I'd love to see strategy breakdowns by Dave, not even just from Masters, just any time you have a game you think is interesting. So that's the lovely Dirk from the Guardians Discord. Seems that there is a desire for Dave to kind of flex his competitive legitimacy even more. You can read the next one, Stephen.
Alan Liddell says, firstly, I just want to thank you for the shout-out. And I remember you, Stephen, but not because I had a curry with you. Oh, God. Well, now I'm worried as to why you know me. Alan, if it's safe for work, then drop it in the comments below. If it's not, message me. Maybe we just hung out at a tournament sometime. Secondly, the event name was sort of an accident. I wanted a name that I could easily shorten and that would fit with the theme. So either Olympics or Games. Clearly, I went with the Games side of things, and Middle-earth Games was born. It was after that it dawned on me there was an amazing shark film, and that had to add the at the start. So there you have it. The history of the Middle-earth Games, which goes back hundreds of days, which means at least 1 year. Shout out, Alan. It's nice to know that you remember as well. I think that is everything. That is indeed everything. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for commenting, liking, sharing, subscribing. Support your hobby. Go check out Seventh City War Games. Go to their store in Nottingham. Sell all your old stuff to them. Shout out Ash again for coming on just before he immediately had to film the Goblins Gamers podcast. Really appreciate that. If you can guess where Dave has gone on his holidays below, and I see you at a tournament, I will buy you a drink. So please get commenting down below where Dave is currently on holiday. The clue would be... no clue. You're not going to get a clue. thank you all for coming to share your opinions.
Chitter, chitter.
Chitter, chitter.